Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. Today, I wanted to talk to you about the dangers of demonizing narcissists. This is something we hear about all the time, so I thought we would address it on the show today. Now, it might seem ironic to say that we shouldn't demonize narcissists, considering that many times it's not even possible to relate how bad living with a narcissist actually is. But the reason demonizing narcissists is a bad idea has nothing to do with that. It's not about how bad they are or how bad they're not. It's about the mindset that this creates in us. Demonizing somebody is portraying or viewing them as having no positive qualities whatsoever. Besides the fact that this is almost certainly not the case for just about any person, needing to see people this way is dangerous. If the only way we can stay away from someone or believe it's okay not to allow them in our lives is to view them as unequivocally evil, we are vulnerable to those that we don't see that way, and demonstrations of kindness or goodness can be used to manipulate us into situations that we would be able to see much more clearly if that was not our mindset. The truth is, most narcissists and other abusers can be kind sometimes. They can be positive sometimes. They can be compassionate sometimes. They do show empathy sometimes. They are caring and considerate sometimes. This doesn't mean that they're somehow not abusive or toxic. It doesn't excuse or mitigate their harmful behaviors. It doesn't mean they deserve a place in your life. We need to let go of the idea that someone needs to be seen as a complete monster before we will decide to stay away from them. The threshold needs to be much higher than that. When people talk about narcissists as having no good qualities whatsoever, not only are they engaging in black and white thinking, they're not really being honest. The, quote, good side of the narcissist is just as real as their, quote, bad side, for whatever that's worth. Many people have a really hard time understanding that because how can someone have two such opposite sides? One of them must be fake, right? The answer to that is because of something called splitting. Put simply, pathologically narcissistic people have arrested development, and because of that, they can't create a cohesive image of something or somebody that integrates all of the positive and negative aspects of that thing. It's either good or it's bad, and that's it. This includes themselves. This results in splitting the two aspects apart from each other because they can't resolve the contradiction. Good cannot be bad. Bad cannot be good. Therefore, their brain creates two images of the same object, one good and one bad. Once again, this includes themselves. The result is two very extreme versions of the same person, one good and one bad. They do that to themselves. They do it to other people. They do it to situations. They do it to jobs. They do that to everything. It's very easy to simply say that the, quote, good side is fake, but the truth is, the good side is just as real as the bad side. Nothing about the narcissistic person's personality is stable. So really, all sides or facets of their personality are equally fake or real, depending on how you look at that. Their identity is unstable and fractured rather than cohesive and firm. They are extreme people because of this. The bad side is just as exaggerated and overblown as the good side, and neither of these really accurately reflect who they actually are. These are extremely unbalanced people, and the different aspects of their personality reflect that. Now, of course, there are some people who just overwhelmingly display negative behaviors. There are some people who are just blatantly bad. They display bad behavior. They do cruel, horrible things to others. But even Ted Bundy, a true monster of a human being, had some good qualities. He was polite, he was intelligent, he was charming, he was funny, he was engaging, he was considerate. He even worked on a suicide prevention hotline, probably saved dozens of lives, maybe more than that. Does this mitigate the other things that he did? No, it does not. It's understandable that it's easier for people to leave the situation if they can see the narcissist or the abuser as totally bad with no good qualities, but people do themselves a disservice by doing that. They leave themselves vulnerable, because if someone shows that they're not totally evil, the person might believe that there's a chance things are going to change because, hey, evil people don't have any good qualities, right? That's why this is so important to understand. Most abusers do have a good side. It might even be a genuine good side. Most abusers do have positive qualities, and these could even be sincere positive qualities. These things do not disqualify them from being abusers. These things don't mean they're not narcissists. This type of mindset and relating of information also confuses people who are dealing with narcissists because they hear so much about how unrelentingly evil and demonic narcissistic people are, and if the person they're dealing with doesn't fit that bill, they believe that that person in their lives can't be a narcissist or they can't be an abuser. I have heard that more times than I can count. I thought he or she might be a narcissist, but everyone says how they're so evil and horrible. We've had plenty of fun. We've had good times. We've had enjoyment spending time together. Or he or she can't be a narcissist or an abuser. They're so kind to kids or animals, or they work in the nursing home. It's a mistake to believe that extremely toxic and abusive people like narcissists are nasty and horrible all the time, or that they're incapable of sincere kindness or consideration sometimes. Not only is that usually untrue, but needing someone to demonstrate that they're just pure evil before we can decide that it's okay to leave the situation or the relationship puts us in a very vulnerable position. It's okay to acknowledge that an abuser or a narcissist has some positive qualities. Most of them do. But it's important to understand that having good qualities does not mitigate abuse. Ever. We can think of investing our time and energy similarly to how we invest our money. If we're not getting a good return, it's not a good investment. If someone is good with the children, but they're abusive to you, it's not a good relationship. If someone volunteers at a soup kitchen, but they abuse their kids, this is not a good situation. If someone makes you laugh and gives you thoughtful gifts, but they also disrespect, attack, and berate you during an argument, it's not a good relationship. Humans are complex and complicated creatures in a lot of ways, and many contradictory characteristics can live in the same person. It's important to see people as they really are, both positive and negative. If we can do that, we can be more sure that we're seeing what's really there and not just what we want to see, whether that's good or bad. Remember that you deserve better. It's not necessary for someone to be an evil monster for you to know that they shouldn't be in their life. It doesn't need to go that far or be that one-sided. Leave the black and white thinking to the narcissists. Someone can have positive attributes and still be abusive or toxic. This is really where boundaries come into play. Boundaries take the guesswork out of relationships because if someone disrespects your boundaries, the relationship goes no further. With strong boundaries, red flags become deal breakers. And remember, this is not about needing to see the narcissist as a good person. This is about making sure we understand that good qualities do not mitigate abuse, ever. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text, via messenger, through email, and through Skype. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the book an appointment tab to go ahead and do that. I teach workshops a few times a month, so if you're interested in seeing what we have running right now, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org and shamanspiritcenter.com. That's me, Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.